all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Y'all sit on down. Rest yourselves. Rest yourselves. Amen. We're not going to be here a long time, but be here a strong time. Amen. 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 Truly, it is an honor and a privilege for me to be standing up here today behind this holy fire, dignified, sanctified pulpit. Amen. Amen. I want to first give honor to God, who is the head of my life and who runs everything in my life. Amen. And I try to live as close to Jesus as possible. Amen. Even though I have some ups and downs and some faults, I try to be as close to Jesus as possible. Amen. Also want to give honor to our very own pastor. If you could just help me clap your hands and give our pastor a hand clap. Amen. Thank God for him. And we also still keep those hands going for our heavenly mother, our first lady. Amen. Amen. Sister Pickens, who is now just watching over us. Amen. And I'm sure she's up there having a good time praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. And all of you all, my father's children, God bless you all. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be up here long. I want to share something real quick. I went to the doctor about a week or so ago. Amen. And he hit me with some news. Amen. I can't even pronounce the name, but it has something to do with my heart and something like that, which I always knew I had a little complication here or there with my heart and everything. And he said, I'm overworking my heart. I need to stop being so stressed out. I said, well, I got kids and all of the above. And amen. Yeah, and I work with kids. Amen. So he said, well, he told me what was going on with it, something about an electrical shock or something like that. And it overworks itself and it has a tendency to speed up too fast. And he said, so I need to slow down. He gave me some medications. And what scared me the most, he said, it could have stopped on me at any time because it sped up so fast and speeds up so fast. And I was so discouraged at one point in time. He said, but thank the Lord we're able to fix it and do all of that. So I go back in. I was so discouraged. But then I turned back around and started thinking how blessed I really am. You know, how blessed I really, really am. And I just started giving God praise right then and there. Amen. So if at any given time you see me or whatever, you know, all this power behind me, just take the mic and just go ahead and keep on preaching the word of God for me. And I'm just so grateful that we are here. I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to get in your way and out of your way. My grandma used to do this every now and again. She just go swaying through the house. You know, when you get older, you don't walk no more. You sway. You know, you just start swaying everything. And she just out of nowhere bust out and say, Father, yes. I'll stretch my hand to thee. No other help. Mama, they don't sing like that no more. I know if I withdraw thyself from thee, oh, where the shall I go? Hey, if you know it, just make it personal and just say, Father, I'll stretch my hand to thee. No other help. If I withdraw thyself from thee. Oh, whether shall I go? Then they see you say, somebody say yes. They don't do them like that no more. Yeah. Come on, let's just sing on Zion. Yes. 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 Oh, yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you now. First, give me all honor and glory and praise for who you are and what you are to me in my life, God. Now hide me behind the cross so they might hear and see from you. Preach to me, through me, and for me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, let it please be acceptable in our sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's just give God some praise up in this place. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's give Jesus some praise up in this place. Hey, if you love him, shout hallelujah. If you love him, shout hallelujah. If you love him, shout hallelujah. All right, come on, let's get in this thing. All right. All right, look at somebody real quick and tell them, neighbor, there's a word from the Lord. Look at somebody else and tell them, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord. And I am a lover of the word of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I trust that every soldier in here has a sword. If you have it, hold that power up in the air. Hold it up. Amen. Look at all this power around here. Let the devil know you didn't come here empty handed, because everything is going down but the word of our God. The book of Exodus. Amen. The book of Exodus. A very familiar passage. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse number 10. That's Exodus 14, beginning at verse number 10. Amen. If you don't know where Exodus is, please make sure you're here for noon Bible study. Amen. We can learn one of the books of the Bible. Amen. Exodus 14 and 10, and when you have it, say amen. 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 And the Bible gives us this intelligence. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt this with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? It is not this word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. Whew, the mindset of these people. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for the word of God. Amen. I just want to talk to you briefly about when you come to your Red Sea, or for another title, facing your Red Sea. Amen. Let's look at this. Our lesson today takes up in chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. We see the children of Israel have now left Egypt. Amen. Where they were in captivity or in bondage. Amen. Amen. These children of Israel have left Egypt, and now they are on their way to freedom. Amen. Amen. They are now on their way to freedom with their leader leading the pack, Moses. Amen. Moses, in some way, in theology, is known as the first prophet. Amen. Amen. Y'all see how I put that theology in there, because we got all these doctors up here. I got to let them know I know a little something. Amen. Amen. And Moses is known as the first prophet. And if you've been in church any length of period, you know that this is what's going on. Moses has now been commanded by God to go and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. Let his chosen people go. And you may ask yourself at times, why was Israel even in captivity? I want to share something with you just in case if you did not know. Israel was an up-and-coming people, amen? And the Egyptians feared that Israel was growing so fast that they may overthrow Egypt, amen? Amen? Or they may combine with another group and overthrow Egypt. So what Egypt did was, Egypt said, in order for us to control them, we got to encapture them. We got to take them under control. And so now what happens is the Egyptians now get in the mind of the Israelites. Amen. And ain't that just like the enemy? When he does not want to see you grow or flourish, the enemy then gets in your mind. How is that? How is that real? The enemy gets in your mind in so many different ways, and we're going to see that as we go throughout this time. But now Israel has now been in captivity for 400 plus years. Did y'all hear me? I said they've been in captivity for 400 plus years. And what's going on now? What's going on now is that Israel has to come out of bondage because it is a fulfillment of a promise that was given to Abraham. Amen. And ain't it good to know no matter what's going on, no matter how long it is, when God makes a promise, he's going to keep his promise. Ain't that good to know that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, when God has made a promise to you, he is going to follow through with his promise. It may take a day. It may take 2 days. It may take a few years, but ain't it good to know that God is a promise keeping God. Amen. We got people in the church that can't even keep their word. Amen. But ain't it good to know that we serve a God who is willing to keep his promise. Amen. Amen. Somebody should have shouted right there, but that's all right. You'll catch it as we go a little bit farther. So now what's going on? Moses is now being told by God, I've heard the children's cries. Heard the Israelites cry now. So Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Why would God choose Moses? Well, at the time, Moses was a courageous man, strong and mighty, and didn't mind standing up for what was right. Didn't mind standing up for truth. Didn't mind standing up for the Lord. And ain't that something today? Is that now we as a church body have gotten so fickle, have gotten so sad to where we can't stand up for what is right. We done got so timid now. We're afraid of what people may say when we start telling them what's right and what's wrong. We're afraid of how people will look at us when we start telling them what's right and what's wrong. We're afraid of what the world may say when we're walking up upright before God and walking up a certain way. But I come to tell you today, if you're ashamed of God down here, he'll be ashamed of you with your father. You got to live a life and serve a God and preach this thing just the way God wanted you to do it. You ain't got to tote that Bible around. You ain't got to have every song in your heart. All you got to do is tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. You know, nowadays people can't even do that. God has done so much for people. People can't even tell you how good God has been to them. People are afraid of what you may think when you start talking about God. You know, they done got so bad. They trying to ban God out of everything now. I'm going to say that again. They trying to ban God out of everything. God nowadays have become a mockery. It's going to get a little bit tight up in here. It may be tight, but it's right. Because we God now in some areas have became a cliche with people. No one fears the Lord like they should. The only time that sometimes people really want to stand up for the Lord is when they're sick, feeble, going through, lost their job. Now all of a sudden it's, Lord, I need you. And then the second you get that job and he gets you back on track, thank you, I'll call you next go round. And God said that's not how he wants. If you're going to serve God and live for the Lord, you got to do it every day of your life. Oh, it's a sad Christian that don't want to tell somebody about the Lord. But God picked up Moses because Moses didn't mind going. And here's what's crazy. I want you to understand something. No matter what you have done, no matter what you are going through, you are valuable and you are qualified. I'm going to say that again for someone that may have low self-esteem. You are valuable and you are qualified. There's nothing you have done so bad in your life to where you are not still valuable and qualified in the eyes of the Lord. You know, the enemy want to try to make you feel so bad to where, because you have maybe done some things in your life that wasn't pleasing in God's sight, that may went against the teachings that you were taught while you were growing up. But I come to tell you today that all you got to do is turn your life back around. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh! Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You are valuable. You are, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm valuable. Neighbor, I'm qualified. You know why? Why you say that? Because Moses didn't think he was valuable or qualified. He looked at the Lord and said, "Why? Oh, me? I'm just trying to bring you up to speed and walk that thing. I ain't got that much time. I'm trying to walk it. I'm gonna talk a little fast. Just stay with me, and we gonna all get to heaven together." Moses is looking at the burning bush. Me? Who am I? Who am I? But then when you think about it, why would Moses ask that question? Moses, in my opinion, was the most qualified. Moses used to live in the palace. All right. Moses was brought in the family. Moses knew Pharaoh personally. Why not am I the best qualified person? But because Moses did not think he was qualified, he questioned God, why are you really sending me, somebody like me? Well, if that's the case, who should I tell them that sent me? God said, tell them. We got some Bible readers in here. We got some Bible readers in here. Amen. Tell them I am sent you. Oh, when you got that I am behind you. When you got that I am walking with you. When you got that I am right beside you in the doctor's office. You tell the devil I am. Send me right here. Oh, God, let's walk this thing. We almost out of here. Y'all give me 10 minutes. I'll let you know when to start counting. I'm going to be out your way. So now Moses now has gotten the power of God and the courage to go to Pharaoh and tell him, God said, let my people go. And then in the process of this, Pharaoh said, no, he ain't going to do that. Because God took time to harden Pharaoh's heart. And you got to ask yourself, wait a minute. Now, Lord, you the one that sent Moses to let him go. Why would you harden Pharaoh's heart? God hardened Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh and the Egyptians needed to see the power that God holds. You steady trying to figure out why that person don't like you. You steady trying to figure out why that person talking bad about you. You steady trying to figure out why that person has a problem with you. It's because God is getting ready to show his miracle working power in your life. He will make your enemies your footstool. So now what's going on in this thing? Now God has decided to send plagues to show his power, to show that Pharaoh didn't have as much power as he thought. God sent the power of a plague so powerful that Pharaoh had no choice but to let the people go. And as we all know, that most powerful plague was the plague of the death of the firstborn son. Amen. 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 What a powerful plague God sent to show his power. Amen. If you didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. I'm going to say it again just in case if you missed it. If you didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Still ain't caught the shout, okay? They say third time is a charm. If you didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, then death was coming to meet you at your door. But if you had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, death would pass you right on through. Ain't it good to know that even before Jesus came, how powerful the blood of the lamb. Let me stop right quick. Ain't it powerful? How good to know that the blood of the lamb was that powerful even in Exodus. All right. I got to stop because I ain't got my ass for pumping with me. It'd be all right. I feel good. It's because I feel good when you talk about the miracle working power of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at a few miracles in here. Have you ever just looked in the mirror and said, boy, God did it again. Look at this miracle standing before you. Look at this miracle that God is still working on. Oh, God. Oh, God. So now Pharaoh has opted in to just let the people go. Pharaoh recognizes the power of God at that time. He's so beaten down and bothered. Pharaoh said, just get them on up out of here. Just get them on up out of here. I don't even want nothing else to do with them. Moses, get you, your staff, and your people and get on up out of here. Oh, what a glorious day to be delivered. What a glorious day when you're delivered from captivity. What a glorious day when you're delivered out of bondage. What a glorious day when you're delivered out of things that held you bound. All right. All right. All right. All right. So now, what a glorious day that was. The Israelites have now packed up their stuff. So I'm going to bring it out. They done got their shoes. They done got their coats. They done got their food. They made sure everybody was together. They got the children. They got everybody together. And they marching out of Egypt. All of the problems that they went through in Egypt are now being left behind. What a glorious day to walk in freedom with the Lord. They now moseying on through a day's journey as they're getting closer and closer. And now God is now watching over them. He's covering them with a pillar during the daytime, keeping them warm and covering them with a block of fire by night. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to know that God is still with you. Oh, man. Now, the problems that they were dealing with in the back are now gone. But now, as they're going and going and going, they come across a sea. In other languages, they come across a large ocean. Now they're at the Red Sea. And history teaches us that the Red Sea was 1,400 miles wide, 1,700 miles in length. We're talking about problem right in front of us. Now, back in Egypt, Pharaoh's heart is now hardened again. What happens is that people came up to Pharaoh and started talking to him. So you just gonna let the people go like that? We got stuff that needs to be built. You see? Pyramids need to be made. Food need to be cooked. What we gonna eat? You know that's the line. Like a lot of people, you know, you ever been in the house and mama tired? Well, who gonna cook? What we gonna eat? You know, that's all they saying. If I'm not mistaken, Pharaoh's wife. I'm not gonna step on that. Okay, there's too many in here. Okay. I'm just going to say she said a thing or two to Pharaoh. And I'm going to leave that right there, mama. I left it right there. But whatever she said to Pharaoh got Pharaoh so hot, he said, you know what? You sure right. You sure right, baby. You sure right. Get the horses, get the chariots, and get everybody. Because one thing you don't want to do is make your wife mad. Amen. Amen. See how I bailed out of that thing? I bailed out of that thing right there. Pharaoh got up and said, let's go get them. We're going to take some back and then we're going to kill some of them. Let's go get them. So now the Israelites got a problem in front of them. And afar off, they see a problem coming behind them. Now, ain't that something? When God delivers you out of one problem, we run right back into another problem. Well, Lord, if I was going to have all these problems, I could have just stayed where I was at. See, that's the mindset of the Israelites. See, some of us still got an Israelite mindset. Amen. 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 So I'm say that again. Some of us still got an Israelite mindset. And then what happens is the Israelites, now they were all, oh God, can I preach a word? Can I help you out, pastor? They were all on the pastor side.
All right.
They were all on the pastor side until everything started going left. Then they turned to the man of God. You should have left us where we were at. Didn't we tell you that we were all right where we were at? We had a house. We had a little hut. We were able to make some bread. We were able to do all of this. You should have left us where we at. We could have died as a slave. We could have died in bondage. We could have died in captivity. But yet you chose to bring us out. Are there not? Oh, God. The problem is, even nowadays, people have an Israelite mindset. Let me tell y'all about this word being bound right quick. Oh, yeah. Okay, now we can start the 10 minutes. Let me tell you about this word being bound. My mother taught me what being bound really is. My mother, how old am I? 30-something. My mother was on and off drugs for 30-some years. Thank the Lord she recently got clean a few years back. Amen. But she was, I used to get upset because I would tell my mom, it's so easy to just stop doing what you're doing. It's so easy to stop living that way. I used to tell her that until I learned what being bound really is. You ever change the tire? I change the tire. When you're getting ready to change the tire, you gotta jack that thing up, number one. It's a process. And changing the tire, it's a process. You gotta first get all the tools out. Mm-hmm. You gotta get the lug width and the jack and all that stuff. And then you gotta find the right groove. Right? Y'all with me right quick? Right. You gotta find the right groove up under the car. You ever seen yourself really just trying to change the tire? Mm-hmm. Trying to find that groove up under there? Now you done found it. Now you gotta get down and start turning that thing a little bit. Or if you got a older car like me, you gotta. We're up there pumping that car up so the car can be lifted up because we got to change a tire, mm-hmm. All right, because the tire is on flat now or have a blowout. So now we got to change the tire, right? Now, if you're anything like me, if you followed the process I just said right then, now I got to let the tire back down because I skipped the process. Yep. I lifted it up too early.
Yep.
Now, I got to then go and get my four-way. That's what they call it now. They got the four-way. I got to get the lug nuts off.
Yep.
Because in order for me to change, I got to loosen or take off the lug nuts. Y'all with me? Y'all following me? You ever tried to do that?
Yeah.
You get that thing out? Y'all don't make me laugh at this. I'm trying to stay serious. Mm. You put that lug, that four-way on?
Yeah.
Then you try to.
All right.
That's one.
Amen.
In order to change that tire, the things that's really got the tire, bam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It takes time, effort, strength.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, once we have turned and gotten all four or five of those lugs out. Then we got to lift it up and take the tile and put it back on. And watch this. Then you got to put on a new tire.
Yeah.
That new tire that can carry me the rest of the way I need to go. Now watch this. The lug nuts was holding the tire on tightly and straight. Those same lug nuts. It's what's got to keep the new tire holding on tight
And straight, see, when you're bound by something and you finally got rid of it, you still got to have something to hold. You still got to have something to hold on. And your mindset's got to change. The Israelites' mindset wasn't changed yet because they were still in bondage in their mind. Their minds were still in captivity back in Israel. They were too busy worried about the problem in front of them and too busy worried about the problem before them that they forgot that the problem solver was right there with them the whole time. That same person that's getting ready to cross them over the problem. Stop telling God how big your problem is and start telling your problem how big your God is. I know it gets tough and I know our flesh takes over, but sometimes you just got to remember what God has already done. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, just remember what he's already done. All right, I'm almost out of here. I only got 5 minutes and I'm out of here. You just got to remember what God has already done. The Israelites' mindset needed to be changed. And once you have become a Christian, once you have become a disciple, once you have become a worker of the Lord, your mindset has to change. You got to stop that stinking thinking and act like you know what God has done for you. You got to stop worrying about everything and worry about the next plan. I'm worried about what God is getting ready to do. I'm worried about the miracle God's getting ready. Won't he do it? So now the Israelites are crying out. And I want to say this not just for pastor, not just for the preachers, but for us as Christians. The Israelites are now crying out, and Moses then looks up to the Lord. And the Lord said, hey, what you crying to me for? You got all the power in your hand. You got all the power in your hand. You got all the power in your hand. Moses told the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because this day the problem that's behind you, you're not going to see that problem again. Stop focusing on that problem. So when you come to your Red Sea experience, I know it's going to get tough. I know it's going to get rough. But all you got to do is remember that the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. He's making me to lie down in a green pasture. He's leading me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you come to your Red Sea experience, just remember that the Lord said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I'll be with you even to the end of the world. When you come to your Red Sea experience, just remember he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increased their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When you come to your Red Sea experience, when it feels like God has just left you, the Bible says, he told Moses to stretch out. Stretch your hand out over the sea. And I think if we as a people, if we as a congregation, if we as a disciple body, then when we come to our problems, we all together learn how to just... When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard before him. God will carry you. God will keep you. The enemies you see behind you, you're not going to see again. And the problem that you see in front of you, because if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to get out of your way. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I'm crossing over my Red Sea. I'm stepping over my Red Sea. My feet are not going to be muddy. I'm not going to get wet. I'm walking all the way over on you. You got to remember what God has already done. Boy, I know it gets tough sometimes. Man, you get hit with those problems left and right, front and back, side to side. But boy, when you look at the track record, I say that all the time, and I know you probably get tired, but I'm going to keep saying it because that's how I get through. I got to look at the track record of what God has already done. I got to look at how God has brought my family through. I got to look at how God has brought my brothers through. I got to look at how God has brought other people through, listening to the testimonies. God's got a track record of being a lawyer without a lawyer. God's got a track record of being a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. He's got a track record of putting food on people's table. He's got a track record of putting clothes on people's back. He's got a track record of putting water in people's stomach. He got a track record of just running things. God's got a track record of being God. God alone. When you come to your Red Sea experience, remember what God has already done, and then just stretch and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise on today. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."